The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Luke 1, 46 to 55 is page 87 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Amen." The word hallelujah, which appears often in the book of Psalms, means praise God or praise the Lord. The verb for the word hallelujah is halal, which has several meanings. First, it means to shine. Saying hallelujah means we confess that we will live to make the Lord shine. Second, it means to boast. Saying hallelujah means we confess that we will not boast of ourselves or our possessions, but we will boast only of the Lord. Third, it means to praise. This means to repeat to oneself, "God, I will live a life raising you up above all." Fourth, it means to act madly. To act madly is the same meaning as to be ruled. To be ruled by all sorts of drugs is to be mad about drugs. To be ruled by secular values is to be mad about the world. And if one is ruled by spirits, then one is mad about spirits. So hallelujah is a confession and determination that I will be ruled by only God. So the word hallelujah is not just used by revival ministers. The words hallelujah, amen, are not spells that are used inside the church. Instead, hallelujah is our confession and our determination and resolve. But the emphasis in hallelujah is placed on Yah, which means Jehovah or Lord. A correct faith is to believe in and serve the correct object, which is God. If we become not hallelujah, but hallelujah Baal, or hallelujah the leader of heresy, hallelujah worldly values, the more we say halal, the greater is our difficulty and the greater our disappointment. The song praising God, Psalm 150, says in verses 1 and 6, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." The first psalm is the book that opens the Psalms, and the final book, 150, is the book that closes the Psalms. Psalms 146 to 150, these five chapters are called Hallelujah Psalms. This is because these Psalms begin with Hallelujah or praise the Lord and end with Hallelujah. In particular, the nickname of Psalm 150 is Hymn to the Creator. This means the 150 songs and psalms are all praise directed to the Creator God. The more we know God in depth and in breadth, the more we can say not Hallelujah my desire or Hallelujah world, but Hallelujah. The scripture today may be called Mary's Hallelujah. Verse 46 says, And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord. Although it is not in the Korean Bible, in the Greek Bible, verse 46 starts with the word kai, which means and. This means that Mary's song is a continuation of the previous story. Mary hears from the angel Gabriel that she will bear the Son of God, Jesus. To this, Mary answers that she does not know a man, so how could such a thing happen? Gabriel tells her that it will be possible because the Holy Spirit will come to her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. And he speaks to her about her kinswoman, Elizabeth, who was already pregnant through the power of the Most High. So even though Mary was in the early stage of her pregnancy and had to be careful, in order to see the deeds of God, she went to Judea, which was 150 kilometers from Nazareth, to see Elizabeth. What Mary saw there was not her relative Elizabeth, but the scene of God's great deeds. And Elizabeth did not see her relative Mary, but instead saw the Lord inside, and blessed her, saying, The mother of the Lord was the most blessed in the world. The answer to this is Mary's psalm, and Mary's Hallelujah. Mary's song begins with, My soul glorifies the Lord. Our scripture today, the song Mary sings in verses 46 to 55, is called the Magnificat, or Mary's Psalm. In the Latin Bible, Mary's song begins with the word Magnificat, hence the name. In this song, Mary makes God shine, and she boasts of God, and raises God up, and she confesses and determines that she will be ruled by God. The ESV English Bible translates the beginning of Mary's song as, My soul magnifies the Lord. Good faith is to magnify God further and further. It is not right to think that by magnifying myself, I magnify the Lord. So those of good faith do not try to magnify themselves in their lives, but only to magnify the Lord. To be more precise, this is to put one's everything on God, the highest of the high. In verse 47, Mary's song continues, My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary confesses that he who comes to her and through her brings the Messiah to this earth. He who does so is her God and Lord and rejoices in him. The power of faith comes from rejoicing in the Lord. The people of Israel were slaves in Babylon for 70 years. Then they returned and under Nehemiah's direction rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. Afterwards, they gathered at the square in front of the water gate. The high priest Ezra read the word of God to them from morning to noon, and he taught them its meaning. Even though it went on for a long time, the people did not become weary, but they wept because they were so moved. Then Nehemiah said the following to lift their spirits. The latter part of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We can tell what kind of people we are by what we rejoice in. If you are only joyful when you have gained power, you are a politician. If popularity makes you joyful, then you are a celebrity. If one is only happy with alcohol or drugs, then this person is an alcoholic or a drug addict. A Christian is a person who is joyful with the Lord. Mary, who praised God and confessed that she rejoiced in God, tells us about the first reason behind her actions. Verse 48 says, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary confesses that the reason she is praising God is because he has taken care of her humble state. Mary lived in a time when the people of Israel were oppressed by the Greek and Roman empires, and the harsh rule of King Herod was underway. The people were not only spiritually desolate, but they also lacked food and clothing to eat. Even if Mary lived in such an age, if she happened to be the daughter of a noble family or a rich family, things might have been different. But she was only a humble woman engaged to a carpenter. Maybe if the carpenter had a large shop to sell his work, he might not have been so poor. But carpenters back then were not people who had their own workplaces. When I was a child, I could easily hear people traveling through the village and calling out, saying, "We sharpen knives," or "We fix umbrellas." We had peddlers who went from town to town with a bag of tools, fixing umbrellas and sharpening knives for people. Carpenters in that day and age were like these peddlers. They wandered from place to place, fixing doors and knives. Since she was engaged to a man who did such work, her status was also humble. But God did not look at Mary that way. He saw her as a meaningful being. Working through those who appear humble is one way the Lord works with us. If we look back on ourselves in honesty, we can only confess that we are not worshiping here today because we are greater than anyone else. We may appear greater than others, but we were not called here because of that. We were called here because we are lowly and humble and without merit. That I have been called to the ministry is only due to the confession that God has been mindful of Hanjo's humbleness. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29 say the following: But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. We cannot boast before God because the reason we have been chosen is not our wisdom, our strength, or what we have. But it is because our foolishness, our weakness, our lowliness, and what we do not have. Mary, who praised God and confessed to rejoicing in God, gives her second reason here in verse 49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Mary says she is praising the Lord because the Mighty One has done great things for her. The Mighty One is not a phrase that simply means the Powerful One. It means Almighty God. This phrase is deeply connected to the Old Testament. When Abram became 99, God appeared to him and spoke to him thus. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 says, When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. When Abram was 75, God told him that he would create a great nation, and his name would be glorified and become a blessing. And so he obeyed and left his homeland and relatives and his father's house. But 10 years passed and nothing happened. And so through Hagar, he bore Ishmael. 13 years after that, when Abram was 99, God appeared to him and said of himself, I am God Almighty. Even when Abram and Sarai did not believe in God properly, he changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. And when they were 99 and 89 years old, far too old to really bear a child, he gave them Isaac. And he made his name glorious, and he turned his name into a blessing. This is the doing of the Almighty God. And Jacob, who had lied and deceived throughout his life, wrestled with the messenger of God by the Jabbok River. And he wrestled so hard so that his tendon snapped. But he wrestled with God and won and earned the new name, Israel. And at Bethel, God spoke to Jacob thus. It's Genesis chapter 35, verses 10 to 11. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants." He who met Jacob was also Almighty God. Almighty God changed his name from what it was before to Israel, and said that he would continue what he had promised Abraham and Isaac through him. And Jacob finally left his life of lying and became a man of faith, believing in God. God is an almighty God to us as well. Abraham and Jacob were not men of great faith from the very beginning. Almighty God made them that way. This is because he can do great things. So we too have hope. Even if we receive the word like Abraham but have yet to obey, we can walk before God from now on. Even if we have been like Jacob, full of thoughts of ourselves and living according to our own will, even if our lives have been difficult, if we look only to God from now on, God will make our lives anew. Mary confesses that Almighty God carries out great things through her. This great deed is the fact that she is pregnant with the Messiah. But this does not simply point to the fact that a virgin conceived without knowing a man. It means that God's mighty deeds of salvation for the people of Israel, who were in deep suffering, and for all of mankind, had begun. This is the great deed. Moses, at the end of his life, speaks of how God performed deeds for the children of Israel during the past 40 years. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Here, great things means the exodus of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and how God led them to the promised land. The New Testament also has a similar phrase. After Jesus was raised to heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the 12 apostles and 120 disciples praying in Mark's attic. The apostles went out and spread the gospel. But the Jews who had gathered from each corner of the earth heard the gospel that night, each in their own language. Their reaction is shown in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. The great work Moses talks about, the great work that Mary is talking about, the great work that Jewish people talked about with amazement, all discuss the work of the salvation by God. Then what is the great work that had happened to us? It is the same, the work of the salvation. If we truly understand that grace, it alone would enable us to praise the Lord and rejoice in Him. Although things might not go as I imagine, and circumstances that I come upon life are hard and difficult. Imagine Mary praising God and taking joy in Him. The Holy Spirit is present to Mary, and the power of the Most High, the Triune God, is covering over Mary. Mary is within God. And within Mary, there is the Holy Son, Jesus, the Son of the Holy Father. Mary is in the Lord, and the Lord is within Mary. John 14, verses 16 to 21 testify as follows. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus, who was facing death on the cross, told His disciples that after He leaves them, the Holy Spirit will come and be with them. That the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, would be with them meant the same thing as the Lord would be with them to the end. Until that time, the disciples did not know what kind of person Jesus was. They were only full of ambition to stake out a good position for themselves once Jesus was crowned king in Jerusalem. But the Lord did not leave them as orphans. He was with them as the Holy Spirit and embraced them. The disciples who later came to know this came to embrace the Lord in them and not only cultivated their lives into a new year, a new day, but became the pathway of the Lord to change the world. Based on the book of John 14:20, our church's motto for this year, 2015, is You in Me and I in You. When the disciples dwelled in the Lord's Word and the Word dwelled in Jesus, they were able to live as witnesses of the Word. Most of the disciples were from the poor of Galilee. They didn't wear good clothes, and they were mere common, uneducated men. And yet, when they were in the Lord and the Lord dwelled in them, they became the pathway for the Lord that renewed the world. Today is the first Sunday of 2015. If we are not in the Lord and the Lord is not within us, 2015 would merely be a continuation of the old year, and it cannot be a new year. If we are not in the Lord, everything that we pursue and seek to achieve are only the product of our desires, an illusion of what the worldly value shows us. And if the Lord does not swell in us as the Word, our 1 year would be a search for a way in complete darkness, without having any equipment that can shed light, like a baby trying to grow up on his or her own without being nurtured by parents. When we dwell in the Lord and the Lord dwells in us, a praise that, God, I will glorify you, I will magnify you, I will raise you up, I will be ruled by you, will rise from deep within our souls. And when that happens, even if there may be hurt and grief in our lives, each of our days will be a new day, and our 2015 will be a new year. Let us pray. The Holy Spirit was present to Mary, who lived in Nazareth, a far country of Galilee. The power of Most High overcame her, so that she was in God, and by having Mary conceive the Holy Son, Jesus, the Lord came to dwell in Mary. In the same way, may we live a life in which we are in the Lord, and the Lord is in us. Although at times our lives may seem unworthy, may the melody of praising God rise forth from deep within our hearts, because God looks after us. And even if the place where we are feels harsh and there are hardships in our lives, allow us to rejoice in God who does great work for us. No matter what happens during this 1 year, may our faith not go up and down or be shaken because of it. Rather, because we are in the Lord and the Lord is in us, may our every day become a new day, and 365 of these new days gather to make 2015 a new year. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.